Hi folks, before we start the podcast, just a little bit of housekeeping. We are live March 6th in the Sugar Club in Dublin, one of the best podcast venues in the country, in my opinion. And there's a brilliant lineup. We'll announce the details shortly, but I'm really excited about the evening. Tickets are available now on eventbrite.ie. So it's eventbrite.ie, check for Tortoise Shack and you'll find us there, or click the link in the below this podcast. We are also continuing to cover, obviously, events in Ukraine. It's been a busy few weeks. Just to put it in context for people, I've been speaking to both Lesia and Maria for a while now, but they came to my attention due to their climate action work and their ideas around the Green New Deal and that, and now they're war reporters, in effect, so it's kind of a disturbing thing. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded a couple of weeks ago with Rosie Bell, and the reason I'm putting it out now is because I think it's really, really good, and it's great to be talking to people in across the different communities on this shared island of ours. So I hope you all enjoy it. If you are getting something from these, please help support, keep this platform going, keep it ad-free, keep it independent, keep us away from editorial control. And the only way we can do that is by people paying it forward, and that is at patreon.com/tortoiseshack. No, it's it can be a pain in the hole, but it's just, if you gave us the price of a cup of coffee or a cheap pint nowadays, it would really help. Enjoy the podcast and thanks for the support. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are back as promised. My co-host, I don't know if folks if you saw, but he's a few weeks out, I'd imagine, at this stage, but get well soon, pal. And I'm hoping you're getting all the treatment that you need. We will continue to monitor, and if things go bad, we'll advertise for a new vacancy, because you know, at this stage, I'm fond of him, but I'm not that fond of him, you know. Bad jokes aside, I am thrilled to be joined by Rosie Bell, who is a member of the Progressive Unionist Party and a community activist in Rathcoole. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Rosie, thank you, first of all, for your patience. I know we've kind of missed each other on a couple of times you were supposed to schedule to do this. It's great to talk to you finally.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. I really appreciate it. Sadly, obviously, I've missed out on your co-host with, obviously, his health, but hopefully wishing him well and that he'll be back on soon with you and we'll get speaking at a later stage.
Oh, absolutely. He said Martin was saying to me that he's actually kicking himself to miss these chats, because he loves these types of conversations. And what I mean by those types of conversations is a young, vivacious woman from the Loyalist Unionist community who's proud of her community and is active in her community. And I've read some of the stuff you're involved in. You see it through unionism and loyalism through a feminist lens. Would you mind telling me what that stands for in your community, how you see that?
For me, we've always had women as a backbone, whether it be in the house, nurturing, nurturing, straight through till obviously like working in the community, liaison with any like ongoing issues. It's always seems to be like a kind of way the back burner. Now it's starting to move more prominent into the features of where you are seeing women standing in council. You're seeing women as strong MLA leaders, and we've obviously had a first and a deputy first minister, our minister, together jointly running Northern Ireland. And it shows you that like what was maybe not thought of years ago as attainable, it is. And it's just kind of like pushing that forward and allowing everyone, whether it be male, female, non-binary, all to have that perspective and openness to do what they have the potential to reach.
I think you've just hit on something there, though, like, again, because there's a perspective, obviously, of politics in Northern Ireland that it's a closed shop, but obviously when you had a leader and a first minister and deputy leader, there were two females. That kind of flies in the face of that, but it is very easy for us to say that you know, it is a closed shop. I would though ask, you know, like in terms of the your own politics, in terms of the party that you've chosen. I mean, you've just mentioned the sort of across the gamut of the LGBT community and that. And would you see yourself as someone who thinks that there's a space within your community for people of who see themselves, as you said, in one sex or none?
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you have a voice and you're willing to display it, for the betterment of the people within your community? Does your gender need to be an issue? That's my perspective of it. I think we have like lost out on so many people who have the great capacity to do well and do well for everyone. Mm. And they haven't had either the confidence, the support, or the backing of it. So it's like about now being able to just come out and speak out. If you have the means to do it, it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is or your education. It should be just being able to help others and make a change. I know what I've felt within the party and my supporting network. It's no longer a case of, oh, so what are you? Who are you? It's more about what you can do and how you can achieve it.
And when you say that, I'm really interested, because when you're talking about people, you know, finding their voices and finding a space that it's welcome, you know, the issues that when we discuss the problems that are on the island of Ireland, they tend to be shared issues, whether it's, you know, access to housing, it's educational attainment, and it's, you know, healthcare, access to healthcare. Are you finding that within your community that is actually really much more to the fore? You know, those things it's a shared experience, depending it doesn't matter where you are, I believe.
Me growing up personally, I lived on an interface, and what I witnessed and what I experienced happened behind the peace wall behind us. It was no different. If you had another young girl, age 8, in the same street, maybe a few yards away, they were experiencing exactly what I was. So we are all experiencing the same health issues. We're all experiencing the same wait lists. We're still all waiting for education. There's so much that everyone is being held back on. And obviously that's the reason why I can speak, obviously, within my community, because I would hear more. But I do engage within open minds of different communities. I'm open to listening and engaging, because at the end of the day, it's about helping everyone. You can't just turn around and be like, I'm helping myself. It's about helping everyone, because at the end of the day, everybody has a right to equality.
A few weeks ago, I interviewed Aoife Grace Moore, who the journalist from Derry, and she actually kind of self-scolded herself by mentioning the fact that she hadn't really met a Protestant until she was about 15 or 16. You know, the communities were very much segregated like that. And I'm going to make an assumption, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm assuming you kind of came up through the same way.
Actually, I was different. I grew up on the Shankill Road.
Yeah.
But my mum, this is pre-peace agreement too, I was sent to an integrated primary school.
So you were one of the the integration ones are only about 20% integrated. So you were really, yeah. Okay. So continue. So
I've always had that dynamic, even as I've transgressed through my life within different schooling aspects and into my work life. I've always worked within a multicultural community, so that I do have an understanding of hearing other people's sides of the stories and kind of getting a more open perspective of a narrative that was always sold in a different light to me, or what is expected. As you said there, you would have expected me to have had a soul, like loyalist, no background, but I've had a more open, no feeling.
No, I think that's not. I'm really glad. I'm thrilled to hear that, because as I said, I spoke to the Children's Commissioner, Kula Yasuma, and she was saying, you know, that one of the main barriers is actually integration of schools. It's making things more difficult in terms of, you know, we talk about a shared island and our shared communities and what we have to, you know, you just mentioned inequality affecting everyone, but you know, if we're not sharing these educational experiences as a youth, is that something that you think really needs to be prioritized?
Education is where we can start, where we can break down barriers or narratives that people have maybe had within their, you know, like upbringing or maybe with life experiences. So if we can obviously have children experiencing more open, diverse ways or cultural identities, they have a choice to make a decision.
I think that's really good, though, because you just said cultural identities, and the plural there is important.
because the fact that it is, there are many different cultural identities, and within your community there's even a diversity of those, you know. So but we're going to ask the question that obviously around the protocol, because the Brexit vote, for better or for worse, it was passed, it was done, it's created these tensions. But it's created more tensions in your community because, I was up a few weeks ago, and there were signs saying the Good Friday Agreement is dead. There were signs saying, tear that up and this sort of stuff. Can I ask you from the people that you talk to and in your community, how do you feel about the protocol and its implementation, and what does it mean when you say, cultural identity to you?
For me, with the protocol personally, I feel that it challenges my cultural identity and my choice of Britishness, due to the fact that the union is now partitioned within the seaports. We obviously have people talk about a sea border, and it's not. It's in the ports in the UK, because it's obviously within Northern Ireland's ports, and it's also within England, Scotland and Wales' ports. The whole Act of Union is about equality within that union, which is not obviously being attainable at this point. So obviously you can see the discontentment and the issues that arise within that. Obviously having a dual, what other people have offered for like the dual, where we can no liaise between the UK and Ireland. Could it be better for Northern Ireland? We don't know, because it hasn't been fully vetted or researched into. But it does have an issue within, obviously, the UK and our standing within the union. And obviously, as people have even said online, and obviously I would participate in different talks and listen to other people's views, and a lot of the collective has been that even if it was to make Northern Ireland stronger as a commercial island on its own, it means that we are a third country. We're no longer fully fed within the UK, and we are now being a sick identity away from the Republic of Ireland. So that makes us above the rest of the UK, and that's not what the Act of Union is about. It's about being equal. And that's the biggest thing I always would go back to, is equality. Equality should be where the scales are both level, rather than one is better than the other.
I mean, there is obviously, you've mentioned as a commercial, like economically, the North does stand to benefit from, North-South trade and access to the EU single market through the, but identity really matters here. Mm-hmm. And what you made an important point, that as almost like a third country, that do you feel Klopp has just joined us, folks, so we won't worry. But just on the piece there, do you see that there's been any kind of conversations from say my government in Dublin, in Leinster House, to actually talk to people about, well, the idea of British identity absolutely will not be driven from Ireland, because there is this sense that people get, and it's given oxygen by some of the bad faith actors, and some of the, there's bad people that stoke tensions, and they deal with them on all sides, Rosie, I put it to you. But do you feel that there's been any kind of moves from Dublin to try and talk to people within your community at all?
Personally, for me, we've had no one. We have had obviously local representatives maybe coming out and maybe doing a few wee things, but it's not been wholly challenged where we can actually then liaise with obviously Dublin ourselves. It's a big issue. Even ourselves with even England, we're feeling that we are being solely like left or speak for ourselves and speak out, which is what I have proactively done as much as I can. My knowledge isn't fully embedded into it. There's still a lot of more learning, and that's what I'm currently doing. I'm reading through different parts and trying to like get a better footing on it.
Yeah, I think you've made a really, see, that's where people who are going to listen to this podcast need to understand. In our politics, quite often the oppositional matter of, say, if it's Fine Gael debating with a member of Sinn Féin, they tend to say, be quite derogatory towards, well, in the north. And if you're doing that towards the north, of towards the nationalist community, the message you're sending then to the loyalist unionist community is actually you're even a step down from that again. And that's been said to me by members of the unionist community. And I just can't, I just find, you know, if we're serious about talking about a shared Ireland and you talk about equality, we can't continue on that pattern of othering. And it does seem that it's legitimate for your community to talk about othering. But I will say there's also a groundswell of happening around you that must be, you must feel like, well, you know, there is talk of, you know, there's talks of border polls, there's talks of within certain lifetimes, you know, do you feel that's unhelpful at this stage?
We need to be realistic. We need to understand. And that's where the only thing I could ask is that people educate themselves. You don't have to have law degrees, but simply going through and reading the acts and triggering certain key points within yourself to educate yourself to speak out is the best way forward. Obviously, there's going to be people who are going to use and utilize certain parts to get a different narrative, and it's going to stoke tensions. Obviously, we've seen some tensions had outbursts, obviously calm quickly, but this is why we need to be more kind of a smarter tactics, kind of way, like speaking on a knowledge base rather than what we are being told, obviously, via the media or what a collective party is just telling us. Obviously, I am a member of the Progressive Unionist, but I am open to views. I listen, I read, I go through different parties. I try and like listen to see what everybody is saying, because at the end of the day, I cannot speak solely for myself. I've been given a platform which I have to use for everyone, and it has to be on an equal basis. Like, I can't turn around and say, this is what I want. This is what we need.
I think that's a really great phrase. It's, you know, not what I want, it's what we need. And I think that's really important that people can look through that perspective. But you've mentioned, obviously, you're a member of a party, and there is... obviously, in the offing in a general election quite soon, a Stormont election is on the way. Do you feel that the hope is that we won't see because I've known people saying that it will actually break down yet again on orange and green. Do you think that there is more of an appetite for, yes, there will be elements of that, but absolutely there'll be talks of how we can all work collectively. It doesn't have to be people on the extremes of both sides. It can actually be a little bit more, I don't want to say centrist, I want to say a bit more progressive, if that's okay.
At the minute, openly talking within obviously frame bases and different networks, people are starting to be more open to parties that obviously would break the narrative over the orange and new green, as you said. How history is devolved within Northern Ireland, it's been media challenged to a narrative where people are vote for this person or that person gets in. And it shouldn't be that. You should be looking for the policies. You should be looking for what that party can attain for you. If they speak solely for you, that you don't need to look at any other party. That's why I resonated with the party that I'm in. It took me 32 years to come to a party of where I could feel, right, this is where I can solely put my head. And I've been challenged on different aspects by different people within both communities over joining this party. And I can actually put my hands up and say that there is no other party that I could actually see myself being willing to engage with, being willing to work with, and willing to promote as much as I would. It's a party that is open, always transforming. They're the most, it's in the name, we're progressive.
I will say that I'm always reminded that not all progress goes forward, but then again,
sometimes you have to take back steps.
Yeah.
See the bigger picture to then move forward.
Yeah. And I suppose that the big driver at the moment is the events around, there's marches taking place in your community around the protocol to protest against it. Do you feel that you mentioned it actually? I'm gonna say straight out. Do you feel that the government in Westminster have abandoned you on that basis that you, because he did lie. Boris Johnson lied. He said this won't happen, and it did happen. And you know, is half of the when people in Dublin look at people marching there and against the protocol, is there a misunderstanding there that a lot of the anger is actually aimed at Westminster and not at, you know, the communities that are looking across at you? It is some of it's aimed at what's happened from Westminster.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we had Theresa May, we had Boris Johnson make promises within different parts of this new transcription of Brexit occurring. We have never had a seat where we could actually give our viewpoint and speak openly about it. It's always been done on a basis of others challenging, obviously, our community, Northern Ireland, and putting in protocols in place that are going to cause issues for the whole of Northern Ireland. Whether you want to be within a nationalist community or unionist community, there is issues that we have occurred. And when the papers challenge it, they're sitting saying about, oh, sausages. It's not just about sausages. We're having impacts that are widely attainable, like education, funding, healthcare. My daughter's autistic, and even the wait list for that was already beyond compare, and these wait lists are obviously all going to be held back yet again due to different things not being able to be attainable because of having to then look at different laws. Does Northern Ireland compare with the UK or with the EU? Are we allowed to keep going forward? What do we do? Are we at a halt?
Can I ask you? And it's an unfair question, so feel free to tell me to go away. Would you have rather the Brexit vote hadn't happened?
No, I'm glad it did happen. I am glad. Like, that's the one thing, is the people spoke out and they voted for what they wanted. What we weren't on the knowledge basis of is what was going to be implemented by the governments in place. We always thought the Act of Union would have covered us within being a part of the UK within the north of Ireland. We thought that we would be on equal standing. That's what the law had stated. And obviously now we've been left as a third country.
Yeah. I'm glad you answered it in that way, because I know I've spoken to when I spoke to Sam, and he said he actually couldn't vote for it on the basis that he didn't know. He didn't trust that the landing zone was what they were telling him it was going to be. Now, he's older and wiser than both of us in that way. But my point being, it's good that, because ultimately, you know, that is a sense of abandonment. And it goes back to what you say about cultural identity. Can I ask you, how important is your British cultural identity in the context of the wider Northern Ireland?
Everybody has an identity. Whether they choose to display it, say it, or do it is different. I am very proud of my background. I'm very proud of being as open as I am. I'm willing to engage. My narrative, like even speaking with yourself, if I said I'm a Shankill woman, grew up pre-peace agreement, have seen part of the troubles, people would not expect me to engage or even be willing to talk or speak out. There's certain parts of my background within growing up within the church base, people wouldn't have expected me to come to the party, which is so open to allowing others to have their choices based on what they want. But that's the whole point of politics. We are no longer there to serve ourselves. We are supposed to be serving the communities. And we have to be more open and we have to engage. If people are asking, this is what we need. We need to make sure that they are put in place.
Yeah. Rosie Bell, I'm going to leave it there. I think you've just delivered a really well thought out and well delivered idea of why we need to listen and have these conversations. And I'd hope that you'll come back on again and have a conversation with us. I do think we could. There's a lot more we can talk about in the next coming months. But thank you so much for having this conversation with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
It's a pleasure. Listen, folks, we're back tomorrow with the Sunday show, so tune in for that. And in the meantime, I hope that gives you food for thought, because I know we need more of these conversations. We need to talk to Rosie on the regular at this stage. So talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.